But the decision you make could be detrimental to you and your family. So when the famine took place, he decides, I'm going to move out from Bethlehem. And he decides to go nowhere upon the face of the earth, but he decides to go to a place called Moab. Didn't discern the sign times and the seasons. Didn't listen to the voice of God. Didn't understand where God stood in his life. Moab was a nation that was cursed by God. Cursed by God. And he took his family and he went into the zone that is cursed by God. It looked good, but it's not a God thing. Life Tree has gone through a famine. And probably still going through a famine. But just be careful when you decide to shift. Because if God's planted you here, he's planted you here for a reason.
That's right.
Your blessing lies here. Listen, these people didn't pay me to say these things. If you think that they paid me. No, they didn't. It's my responsibility this morning. But Abimelech missed the mark. Went to Moab, a zone where God has cursed. And as he got there, Abimelech died. His two sons married two daughters from the house of Moab. And the two sons died, leaving three widows. And I wish I had time to speak about the three widows, to talk about three different churches. Someday, God willing, I'll come back and hopefully we'll talk about that. So the story goes on. Three men die, leave three women, widows, no other children, nobody else to produce. The Bible says, Naomi gets a message that there's bread back again in Bethlehem. I come to let you know the news is going out in Jersey Shore that there's bread in Life Tree. No. You know, if somebody came to South Africa and told me that, man, we go through problems just like you. But if somebody came and told me that, I'll be jumping out of my seat. Man, I grab a hold of that because I know there's bread in New Life Church. Our church is New Life Church, by the way. News is going out that there's bread. Those that have gone out there will hear the news. There are those through pride will not come back. Orpah decides, I'm not coming. I'm not going. I will stay over here in the place where it is cursed. I'm comfortable. It's okay. If I go there, probably people will, you know, look at me. Hey, who's this? But Ruth, on the other hand, decides, I don't care what my past looked like. God has sent somebody so that I could attack. God sent a blessed. Ruth is a blessed woman. I mean, Naomi is a blessed woman. Knows the heart of God. Belongs to God. Was sent to Moab. All Ruth did was connected herself to the blessings of God. Listen. Somebody who will lead you to your destiny or to your blessing probably may not be the one that is blessed more than you. Now, you didn't catch that. There will be those that are not even reaping the full benefits of God. They probably just know God. But they will be a conduit or the bridge to bridge you with the blessing. And Ruth identified this. And she says, I don't care what happens. I lost my husband. I lost my brother-in-law. I lost my father-in-law. And I know I lost the blessings of God. But there's something that I'm not going to lose. And this is an opportunity as a bridge for me to get over from my cursed place to my blessed place. She latches on to Naomi. And says, in Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 7. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Where you die, I will die. And your God will be my God. When you come to that place of confirmation and settlement in your heart, where you know and you know and you know and you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could even ask or even imagine, then you'll grab hold of God's presence. As she got all of it, Naomi gets back to Bethlehem, and she says to the people, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," called bitterness. But it's not about Naomi, it's about Ruth. Ruth comes from a place of curse. And as she comes, watch this. We're talking about a supernatural shift. She comes in and she looks around and looks for an opportunity. And when she sees an opportunity, she says, "I want to now go and glean in the field." The reapers are in front of her, and she goes behind, gleaning whatever has been left behind. And all of a sudden, in chapter 2 and verse number 16, she finds favor. She finds favor in the eyes of Boaz. And here's a strategy. A mother-in-law says to her, "Listen, something about is about to happen in your life. There's going to be a super, I'm saying this, there's going to be a supernatural shift. But there's a prerequisite. And the prerequisite is in chapter 3 and verse number 3. She says, "Ruth, wash yourself. Anoint yourself. Put on a good dress. And go not to the movies, but go to the threshing floor." I got up this morning. I said, "Lord, what is this all about? Why the threshing floor and not anywhere else?" And this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me, and he said to me, the Spirit of the Lord says to me, the threshing floor is a place where the wheat is beaten and the chaff is separated from the wheat. It's a painful process, but it's a worthwhile process. I've come to let somebody know this morning, when the truth is preached in this house, when the word of God is preached without compromise, and the Spirit of the Lord is released in this house, it will be like the threshing floor where it separates the wheat from the chaff. And I believe LifeTree is going through a process whereby it is God and God's presence and its word and nothing else. If you're doing or you're coming for anything else in this house, then you are in the wrong place. It's got to be the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God, and that's it. It settles it. That's all God wants in this place. If it's anything else, then you're wasting your time. Because God is looking for a people that will be separated from the chaff. God is looking for a people that will release the things of this world and not be in the comfort zone. We did things for a long time, man. And because we're still holding on to those things, we're moving nowhere. Word of God says we put on a form of godliness, but without any power. We don't see miracles anymore. We don't see signs and wonders anymore. We don't see breakthroughs anymore. We don't even get our prayers answered anymore. It seems as though it's bouncing off the ceiling. Why? Because the presence of God is not there. It becomes a formality. God have mercy. And this is not just an American thing. It's global. You come to South Africa, sometimes in some houses, it's even worse. It's worse. It's a formality. But God is saying, get to the threshing floor. Get to the threshing floor. Wash yourself. In other words, cleanse yourself from all the past things that affect you. Those negative things that has been spoken into your life. The negative things that has been prophesied over this house, over your family. We need to come to a place whereby we wash ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and wash my mind. Wash my spirit. Wash my soul. Wash my life. Wash me, Lord. And cleanse me. Make me whiter than snow, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You wash yourself. And then you come and say, Lord, my cup is empty. Fill me up, Lord. Fill my cup with your anointing. Fill my cup with your presence. Nothing else I desire but your presence. And when you come to that place where you're crying to God, when you're reaching out to God, when you're seeking for righteousness, we will stumble and fall. The paths of a righteous man is ordered of God. Yea, though he fall, he will not be utterly destroyed. None of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect. But constantly we're dragging ourselves towards our destiny. And once we do that, we can only do that by a change of garment. Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4 and 6, the Bible, 4 to 5, 4 and 3 and 4, the Bible says, take away the filthy garments from him, and I will give him a new robe. Because as Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Every single one of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Take away that garment and let's change our wardrobe. Some of us need to change our closet. We need to change our wardrobe. Can you imagine? Think about it. You got a wardrobe full of clothes. You go in summer, take the same clothes. You go in winter, take the same clothes. You go in fall, you take the same. It's not right. Can you imagine walking here in summer and you got big, you know, overcoats and jackets and big hood and, you know, as though you was in the snow? Doesn't look right. Truth is parallel. Whatever happens in the natural happens in the spirit. You've got to change your dressing. And she says, go down to the threshing floor and he'll be there. When you come to the threshing floor, Jesus will be here. And I wish I had time to talk. And she said, the strategy is go and wait for him to be full. When he's eaten and drunk and he's satisfied, then go and sleep or sit at his feet. I've come to let somebody know, when you come and witness the presence of God, when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. When the praises go up, Jesus Christ is satisfied. Oh my God, he will be sitting on his throne. But when the praises go up, it'll cause him to arise. And the Bible says that she told her, go and sit at his feet. In verse number 4 of chapter 3, it says, and then only you uncover his feet. That's a message on its own. When you uncover the feet of Jesus, you discover how beautiful are those feet that carries the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible stays later, and then watch the supernatural shift. Ruth now marries Boaz, who once was a gleaner from the back, now become the owner of the field. A supernatural shift. She becomes the owner. Those of you guys that are working for a company, never ever miss an opportunity to buy the company. Now, let me say, speak to somebody else. If you're working for a company, every day you walk into that company and say, one day I'm going to own this company. Lord, take away every unbelief in this house. You got to come to that place. where you will, you know what? I remember walking into New Life Church as a guest speaker one day. First time ever I walked in as a guest speaker. Church was still small. I looked at the place and looked at the sanctuary. What a beautiful place. Lord, I love to be a pastor in this church. And guess what? I'm the minister of the church. I was called in as a guest speaker. Today I'm the pastor of the church. You are working for a company. You're working for somebody. Daily you've got to say, Lord, I want this company. And I'm telling you something. One day, I wish I had time to share with you. I've got guys in South Africa where they were working for a company, sit them down, and I told them, going to offer to buy the company. And today they have a multi-million rand company. God will shift you from behind to the front. And last example, very quickly, I want to give you. It's with regards to Moses and Aaron. The Bible declares to us in the book of Exodus chapter 24 and verse number 9. Exodus 24:9. Very quickly, I'm going to run through with this due to time constraints. Exodus 24:9, the Bible says, and Moses and Aaron and some of the other guys went up the mountain because God wanted to speak to Moses. So all of them get up to the mountain. They get up to the mountain. God speaks to Moses. And the Bible says, and they saw God, verse number 11 of chapter 24 of Exodus. They saw God, they ate, and they drank. In other words, they saw God, and they celebrated, and they came back. The next trip, and I'm going to go very fast through this. The next trip happens in Exodus 32 and verse 1. When Moses go back again, on top, taking all his henchmen, sidekicks, go up to the mountain, and they speak to God. And some of them come down. They come down and Aaron is down. He got tired on staying on the mountain. So he leave Moses over there. He says, Moses, you know what, you're too long in this place, man. You're praying too long. You're talking too long to God. I'm going down. So he gets down, he's with the people. Moses says to him, okay, fine, you go take care of the people, no problem. Taking care of the people, and the Bible says that whilst they waited for Moses to come, Moses was taking too long. And they said to Aaron, Aaron, do us a favor, man. Moses, I don't know what happened, whether he's died on the mountain, or he got stuck over there, maybe he got hijacked or something, I don't know. But how about creating a God for us? How about that? And Aaron now pulls up his collars. I'm in charge, dude. Moses is not around. I'm in charge. But let me see what I can do best to keep my people happy. Hey, all of you guys, bring your earrings, all your gold earrings, your gold bracelets and everything. Come, and tomorrow we're going to have a party. They all bring the jewelry and come through. And he creates a golden calf. Places it in front of there. Hooray! We got a God now. People are excited. He gets excited and he puts an altar right there. The reason Aaron did that is because even though he walked with a man of God, but he didn't totally walk with the God of the man. Missed the mark. And created a God with idols, with an idol. And that's exactly what happens in Church of God when you're not in the presence of God and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There will be idols that will be created which become God in our life, gods and goddesses. So what happens? He's busy over there misleading the people. And in the Church of God, there are many that come in the form of servants of God, but misleading the church. You've got to be sensitive to that. But here's another shift. Here's another shift. Give me three people very quickly. Let me show this and I'm going to close. Three guys, stand up. Yeah, three guys, come. The Bible says, and God said to In chapter 33, you go home and read it. I'm not going to quote all the scriptures for you. God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to come up the mountain. So Moses goes up to the mountain. And then also, Aaron goes up to the mountain. But this time also, Joshua comes up the mountain. Just line up here. You got, oh, be careful, son. So you got Moses. Behind him, now you got there. Behind him, you got Aaron. And then you got Joshua. But Joshua is somewhere, is not the best, biggest buddy, you know. He's still down here because Aaron is close to Moses, and Joshua is still making his way up. You know, he's not so close. Moses is praying. The Bible says when Moses speaks, God comes down, the cloud of glory just comes and fills the place. And when that happened, Aaron decides, hey, this is getting too hectic for me, man. I got other things to do. Aaron goes down. And he goes and stick around with all his people. Guess what? When Aaron did that, Joshua decides, hey, I'm not going to leave this opportunity. He climbs up. And he stands halfway through the mountain. And as he stands halfway through the mountain, the glory of God comes down. And Joshua looks at this and he says, God, I know you said to Moses, nobody else must come up. But Lord, I'm so desperate. I refuse to go down. I want what this man got. The glory of God that comes unto Moses overflows unto Joshua. And as it overflows unto Joshua, Joshua rises up to another level and he comes and he stands behind Moses. Moses knows protocol with God. And Moses decides, okay, God, is there anything else for you to say to me? You done with me? Yeah, Moses, I'm done. You guys can go. So Moses turns around and he says to Joshua, Joshua, time is up, boots. Let's go. Time is up. But there's an hunger inside. Yeah. What I've seen, what I've received, It's not good enough. I need more. I need more. I need more. I wish I had three people in this church who would say, I need more.
I need more.
Watch this. Moses goes down. He's the boss. He goes down, continues with his work. Thank you, Moses. And the Bible says in Exodus 33 and verse number 11, and Joshua stayed in the presence of God. Joshua stayed in the presence of God. When you stay in the presence of God, your supernatural shift is locked in. Not your doctrine, not your constitution, not all your certificates will be able to lock you into the supernatural shift except the presence of God. And the Bible says, and Joshua remained in the presence of God. He refused to get out of the presence of God. And I went to God that we will come to a place in our life where we say, I refuse to go out of the presence of God unless I had a breakthrough. Unless I have come to a place of having an encounter with God. That's what's lacking. Where we come And we have this formality, but no encounter. We have this formality, but no relationship. We have a religion, but no relation. God is saying, I don't want a dead religion. I want an alive relationship. Amen. Joshua is having a relationship with God. And watch this. When he had the relationship with God, God looks upon Joshua, and all of a sudden Moses realizes, hey, you know what? Where's Joshua? Hey, Joshua, where are you, man? Nowhere to be found in the presence of God. So Moses goes before God, and he says, God, you know what? It's time. You've been faithful to me. I want you now to cross me over from the wilderness into my promised land. It's time is up for me. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse number 28 to about 33. Or 23 to 28. 23 to 28. Deuteronomy 23, 28. See, I'm human. I can make mistakes. Deuteronomy 20, chapter 3, verse number 23 to 28. If you read that, you will find that Moses has a dialogue with God concerning his shift from the wilderness into the promised land. And in that conversation, God says to him, Moses, shut your mouth, you're not going anywhere. Have a look at the mountain, go climb up the mountain, have a look at everything. You've seen it, you've seen Jordan, but you're not going there. Now, strengthen Joshua. Because he's the one that is going to go over. Supernatural shift. Strengthen Joshua because he's the one that is going to go over. And amazingly, God raises Joshua. Come, sir. He raises Joshua. And this is what he says in Joshua 1 and verse number 5. So Joshua, from this day onwards, you will lead this nation over to the promised land. And guess what? Nobody, no man will be able to come against you. No man will be able to come against you. And just like how I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you. It's a supernatural shift from nowhere to somewhere. From nothing to an overflow. So I've come to let you know this morning, God is about to do a shift where he's going to take you to another level. But the only mode of transport to the another level is your faith diluted in the presence of God. Your faith diluted with the presence of God will take you to another level. So this morning, that's what God's saying. Now, I want to close with the scripture. Psalm 89, verse number 34. I think it's Psalm 89, 34, if I'm not mistaken. Where the Lord says, my covenant I will not break with you. The words that proceeded out of my mouth I will not alter. In other words, if God has promised you as an individual, if God has promised you as a family, if God has promised this church what he's about to do, God is no man that he would lie. He will not alter his covenant. He will not alter his words. God will bring it to pass whatever he has promised. My prayer for this church, and I believe a prophetic word over this church, is you guys can never be the same. In your individual capacity, in your family, and even the church. If you only seek the face of God, and remain in the presence of God. Hey, listen, you got to work. You got to support your family. You got to be in your business. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. God wants to release that to you as an individual, to a family, and to this church. This church can never be the same again. Let's stand to our feet this morning. My God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Once you're taking this journey, there will be traps and fleas and snares that will be laid across you, so that you will stumble and fall. But when you hold God's hand, He will be able to take you through. Right now, you are angry. You're probably standing in a place whereby you're about to put a last nail to your coffin. Some of you are, your minds are affected. You're depressed, oppressed. Become an emotional wreck. You don't know which side to turn. Church has become another issue altogether. God has become another issue. And when spiritually you are not there, it will affect you physically also. You'll be sick and you'll be withering away. But this morning, God has come to revive that. You see, when the bones, when Ezekiel was taken to the valley of the dry bones, Scripture is quite clear. The bones was dry. It wasn't dead. And this morning, I believe as you look at this church, look at yourself, and look at your family, praise God, you are not dead. You're just dry. You're just dry. Your bank account is just dry. Your life is just dry. Your family is just dry. Your household is just dry. And what it needs this morning is a prophetic word. And amazingly, God didn't prophesy over those bones. He said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, hey, how about you? I'm giving you the authority to prophesy over those bones. And I believe this morning there are prophets and prophetesses that are standing in this household. Every one of you have got a prophetic voice. As long as Jesus Christ is in you, you have a prophetic voice. So this morning, God is saying, you need to look at your situation face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and be able to speak and prophesy over that. Listen. When Lazarus was in the tomb, Jesus just called him out and said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't send anybody to go and carry Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus had to make a calculated decision. Do I want to walk out of this tomb? Or do I want to die in this tomb and remain stinking in this tomb? And this morning, God, the Spirit of the Lord, is speaking to individuals. Don't worry about your wife standing next to you. Don't worry about anybody else standing next to your husband or something. God is speaking to you as an individual. You want to die in the cave in a stench? Or you want to come out? And when you come out, no matter how heavy your stench is, Jesus Christ will be able to work through the stench to get to your heart and cause a change and bring about a supernatural shift. My God. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us this morning. If there's just three people this morning, just three people, that will say, Lord, I'm laying myself at the altar this morning as a sacrifice. Nothing compared to what you have done. But just bring my life and I lay my life before you. Lord, this morning I want you to use me, Lord, as I lay at the altar. Use me, O God, as a trophy to show the world that you are able to do anything. And so this morning, if it's just three people, I'd say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm tired of just hanging on to the old things. I'm tired of just living life from day to day. I don't want to die before I live. I don't want to die before I live. I want to live to the fullest. I want to live to the fullest. And when my casket is laying in this church, everyone that stands up must be able to stand up and say, this brother, this sister has lived a life to the fullest. Even though the outer body may perish, but the inward man has grown so strong. As we sing a worship song this morning and allow the Spirit of God just to minister to us in the next few minutes, I'm going to just pray for somebody and I'm going to run out of this place. But I come to let you know that the presence of the Lord is in this house. The presence of the Lord is in this house. This house is earmarked for something great. God says, in this house, I will receive my sacrifice. I will receive my sacrifice in this house. And this house will become a house of blessing. It'll become a house of prayer. And my presence will dwell here perpetually. In other words, without any break. Without any break. And the only way that will happen is when we determine in our hearts, God, this house will be your house. It's not ours. But we come as priests and priestess to come and just lay at your feet tonight, this morning now. The presence of the Lord makes a difference. Thank you, Father. Would you do a worship song now? Seek the face of God this morning. Just for a few moments. Just for one encounter with God that will alter your life completely and catapult you to your destiny. Just one touch from God. Just one touch.
You were the one at the